Sauvin,
Ian Roy,
Anya Peters,
and Sophia Papp.
Today we will be reading Mediocrity and Love Rejected. By Thomas Carew.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more love or more disdain. The torrid or the frozen zone bring equal ease unto my pain. The temperate affords me none. Either extreme of love or hate is sweeter than a calm estate. Give me a storm, if it be love, like Danae in that golden shower. I swim in pleasure. If it prove disdain, that torrent will devour my vulture hopes, and he's possessed of heaven that's but from hell released. Then crown my joys or cure my pain. Give me more love or give more more disdain.
So after reading that poem, our leading question is, how does the extreme emotions in Carew's poem portray the narrator's current mental state?
Well, obviously there's a lot of inner conflict within the narrator's mm-hmm. tone mm-hmm. and their diction. I mean, the opposing like imagery and just the diction completely contradicting itself, like polar opposites, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And it's super dramatized as well,
yeah.
adding to the polar opposites.
Yeah, there's a lot of opposition set up through this poem, love and disdain, heaven and hell, kind of like the light and dark
right.
of both worlds. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like the way you said it conveys the speaker's emotions, mm-hmm. I kind of feel like he's in the middle mm-hmm. between these two things and
yeah.
he's looking for something different.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think that the polar opposition in this poem, the complete opposites, can also portray how, or like the stability of the narrator and
mm-hmm.
how it's not that stable. He's either wanting an extreme on one side or an extreme on the other.
Yeah.
Because that's
like
what's
anything.
Explained
yeah,
throughout
like
the whole poem.
Yeah, like, crown my joys or cure my pain. Like,
right. And give me more love or more disdain.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's definitely stuck in the middle and kind of just, like, a, not boring, but just, like, nothingness.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Because, like, when you talk about, like, depression or, you know, any sort of, like,
mental health.
Yeah, mental health issue. Like, it's kind of, you always hear, like, a numbness.
Yeah.
Like, a nothingness.
A disassociation.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I think that's kind of where he is, almost. Like, it's just, like, a numb, like, a bleak nothingness
yeah.
is where he's at. And so he's literally begging for any sort of, like,
feeling.
Emotion.
Yeah.
Feeling, yeah.
Right.
Even if it's, like, a super negative one, because that's, like, just the state that he's in at this point.
Yeah. There's, like, a numbness, but there's also, like, a degree of, like, emotional frustration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mediocrity and Love Rejected. Like, he's rejecting this. So, obviously,
mm-hmm.
he's hitting some sort of point, or she, the narrator, at which they feel like they have to abandon this, turn around, and go one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So, although, like, there's, like, not so much of a middle, but, like, an outside, like, looking into these
looking
two
into
opposites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he mentions, like, curing his pain a lot. And at first, I thought that was, like, I thought when he was referring to pain, it would be more of a physical type thing, but
mm-hmm.
he's clearly talking about the pain he feels mentally.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, he's asking to cure his pain with love or disdain.
Yeah.
He could cure
mm-hmm.
his pain with more pain.
And if we interpret mm-hmm. this as if it's a, like, asking a specific individual, give me love, give me more love or more disdain, then it could be, like, if it were a relationship, as if it were becoming distant, becoming numb.
Yeah.
And so that would add to the request, like, make it more, like, emotionally.
Yeah, it definitely fits, because, you know, you could see that at the end of the relationship once two people have gotten complacent.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
people get bored. People lose yeah. the spark they once had.
And that's where
so
the
even,
pain would be. Like,
even, like,
pain.
Negative attitude or, you know, like, arguments and stuff like that would be more emotional.
Some emotion.
The way.
Right.
Like,
it's more anger.
No arguing. No conversation. Yeah. No conflict. Yeah.
The way that a lot of people describe, like, losing love and stuff, it's really similar to this dull kind of feeling that, like, you go from one place and it's great, and then at one point, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, there's no actual
yeah.
problem there. The problem mm-hmm. is that
you're unaware of the problem.
There's nothing. There's nothing
right.
there.
Yeah. yeah.
It's like a familiarity. It's like there's just so much of a comfort level that there's you know, you're just, you're there's both used new. To a routine, and there's no, like, yeah. really highs yeah, like, or really lows. Groove. It's not, like, the first 3 months thing, or the first yeah. couple of dates. It's,
I
like,
wonder,
complacent.
So, like, the speaker obviously asked for, like, love or disdain, but you would think that they prefer the love. And so, like, mm-hmm. when they request, like, in the second stanza, give me a storm, if it be love, like Danae in that golden shower. I swim in pleasure. If it be disdain, the torrent will devour my vulture hopes. And he's possessed of heaven, but that's from hell release. So I just wonder, like, I mean, it would make sense if he had a preference for love. And he mm-hmm. asked for love first. Yeah. But yeah, even, mm-hmm. like, Danae in the golden shower. A golden shower is very artificial love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seems like
not real.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost like maybe those, and then at that point, love and disdain could be the same thing. Like, if you mm. shower someone with fake love, if
it's
you overwhelm them,
love, you
it
know?
Becomes...
It's, yeah, it's fake almost. It's like an act or a show.
But I also feel like disdain, like we were kind of talking about earlier, how mm-hmm. Ian said, like, the numbness is kind of just, like, nothing. Like, you don't really know why or, like, what happened. There's no reason for, like, the way you're feeling or whatever. But, like... Mm. If you have disdain or, like, anger or whatever, you usually know why. Like, there's, like, a reason behind it. Or there's, like, a purpose
there's
for your...
There's, like, an experience
yeah.
that you've had or a...
Right.
Yeah,
you can pinpoint why yeah. you feel this way. Mm-hmm. Same with, like, love or happiness. You can pinpoint why... Mm-hmm.
But this mm-hmm. is almost just, like, very broad.
Yeah, but this is just... It's, like, an unanswered question. Yeah. It's just, like, you don't...
I just want
there's
it.
No
it's, like,
reason.
Abstract
yeah.
almost.
I don't, like... Yeah, exactly. There is no reason. It's just, like, I either want it, I want to be happy, or I want to be feeling...
Right.
sad emotion, but why?
Yeah.
Because there is no reason.
It's, it sounds like in the last, second to last line, then crown my joys or cure my pain. It's kind of like the narrator is, if he's, or he or she are really wanting affection and, like, appraisal?
I wonder
word? Approval.
How, it just yeah. seems like attention, not even love. Like, this person just wants attention.
Right, like, for the good things that you someone. Do and the bad things that...
I wonder
do,
how she. You can crown my joys or cure my pain, because it sounds like if you're crowning the joys, if you're making them feel good, wouldn't mm-hmm. you think that's the cure to pain? Or is it suggesting that, like, if you were giving more love, that it's is, not as satisfactory
yeah, that's
as not. The finality of, like, pain and,
fixing it.
Like, hate?
Or
like, would that be a better cure to the pain of, like, this just uncertainty to know that it's done rather than
yeah.
to crown my joys and to keep them going on and to mm-hmm. like kind of lead them on.
I feel like mm-hmm. the crown my joys, I mean, obviously it has to do with love and hate, like we've been talking about this whole time, but like the crown my joys is kind of like the give me more love part.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like I like
look at me, look what I'm doing, kind of like
right.
approve of me.
And then the cure my pain I feel like is the give me more disdain, because you know, again, he's just asking for one or the other. So if he either gives him love, crowns his joys,
mm-hmm.
or gives him disdain,
yeah.
and it still cures his pain because that's what he asked for, because he's out of that, like, middle ground.
It's like a parallel with the two lines, kind
yeah.
of showing the similarities between both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see that.
What do you guys think his vulture is? Like, what does that represent to him? My
his
vulture hopes, and he's possessed.
That's interesting.
It's
well, our vultures are usually, like, seen as negative.
Yeah. They
yeah,
eat
I,
dead carcasses.
So it could be, like,
yeah.
like my hopes that are, like,
I kind
of
feel like
private.
It's specific. Like, if the way that I think that, or at least in the way I'd see it in class, if just now we're here, like, that vulture was put there for a specific reason, and it's possessed. When you think, I don't know why, but I see this guy as a male, and I just feel like his vulture kind of is, like, the sexual part of
that's
his
what I'm saying
yeah,
like private hopes
yeah
like
his
private.
Like the part of him that desires it's possessed like
yes.
he needs something
because exactly.
it seems like
vulture, stuff that you wouldn't openly share.
Also it seems like vulture is like an adjective in this case. It will devour my vulture hopes. It's the hopes being devoured, and I think vultures are scavengers
they
if
are.
I'm right
yeah
yeah
so
they
like
eat
they're ugly
carcass.
And like yeah they eat. Yeah.
So if we look at it in that case, like the scavenger being like the highlighting characteristic, then something, it's like, I don't know, something about these hopes is like consuming him, or it's like kind of a a toxic thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind
think,
of like a
yeah.
self-destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the whole possessed thing of heaven that's but from hell released, it kind of shows the same contrast or, like, confusion that the speaker himself is feeling with the lover disdain.
Also, maybe they could, like, be suffering from something seriously, like, ill. Mm. And they want to be normal. You know what I mean?
I think that the like vulture, with what Sophia said, saying that vulture is, like, an adjective of hopes, and Ian's saying that's kind of, like, a primal sexual aspect, I think that it's, like, this vulture, his vulture hopes, it's kind of describing his maybe secretly bad or, like, kind of hidden
sexual...
Yes, his lustful, like, desires. And it's like a vulture. And vultures are scavengers. They're primal.
Right.
They'll go and find whatever's dead on the street, on the ground, on the road, and they'll go after it and dig into and literally eat all of it and, like, leave the bones.
And it's vulture's desire. It's kind of, like you said, it's self-destruction. It's kind of... It's eating him, like, alive. He can't function...
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's almost like he's suffering from some, like, serious, like, mental illness. Like,
it's an obsession.
Yeah.
I think it was the line that Mia was mentioning, and he's possessed of heaven that's but from hell released. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting, because if he seeks, like, a heavenly feeling, if he seeks love, but this heaven is released from hell,
right?
Then, again, there's this concept that it's, like, the love is, like, false.
That, like, bad things will make him still feel, like...
Like, he'll still come out as, like, a bad feeling or
I wonder
person.
If, like, the narrator is claiming... Because, I mean, it says either extreme of love or hate is sweeter than a calm state. Like, they're held equal. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if he's suggesting that love is the same as hate.
Mm.
Like, it
maybe the intensity of it.
The intensity, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, underlying, like, the way it affects you... And the way
it's still the same,
Like, it could intertwine.
It consumes
them.
You almost.
Yeah, the way it consumes you.
And that'll go back with the vulture.
The way it affects you, it's going to be the same.
His, like, obsession with the vulture, yeah.
So I feel like the mention of the vulture can be seen as positive or negative. Like, depends on which hopes what emotions
still
he's consumed by.
It is still hopes.
First, reading that line with the vultures, I think of a very ugly image. But now that you say that,
I think it is an uglier image.
Right. He's placing the hate
I think it's
and
still supposed to be,
equally.
Like, not suppression, but, like, the vulture's still, you know, there, and it's not a positive thing. But I feel like it could be filled with either love or hate.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, like you just said, like, love and hate can kind of, like, compare... Because of how, like, how they can take you over,
like,
and
the
how
definition
they can, like,
he's placed
control
on it
you.
In here.
It's interesting. It says, "If it prove disdain, that torrent will devour my vulture hopes." That torrent being the golden shower, which kind of was associated with love at first, but now it's saying that love will devour the hopes. So,
just like his one,
his vulture hopes because he's empty.
And he's wanting to fill with either extreme.
And like you said, he could fill it with either end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that hope comes from.
Yeah.
And that's why you think it could be positive or negative.
Mm-hmm. But the vulture is also like an obsession, where it seems like it could be unhealthy with the two extremes. Because, like, with people and with emotions, you want to have somewhat of, like, an equilibrium and a balance. So it does sound, again, like this is kind of like a mental disorder or mental health issue that he may have. Yeah.
Exactly.
An interesting feature we didn't really mention yet is the very first line and the very last line are the same. Give me more love or more disdain. And besides it being, like, a leading, like, theme and claim of the poem, it, like, creates, like, a sandwich kind of thing.
I was thinking the exact same.
Yeah. And so I feel like as we read it, like, we hear this line at first and we have our first impressions, like, give me more love or more disdain. And then you go through, you hear why, you hear, like, the effect on him, and then you hear
it's
it
like
again.
It's like Invisible Man.
Yeah, he just, like, rewords it.
Right. But then, even though it's, like, the same line at the end, it seems like it has an
more
entirely
an
different feeling.
It has a different effect on what was said before, yeah.
Because at first you see just, like, a sad, you know, a guy who's kind of, like, stuck. But then once you read the whole thing, you see, like, this is more than that. This is, like, someone who's actually, like, needing to fix, like, whatever's going on in his head.
Right. Like, it changes with the oppositions. It goes right into the oppositions right after the torrid or the frozen zone. Sweeter than the calm estate or either the extreme of love and hate. Like, there's always those oppositions, and they slowly time. Like, carry the poem.
No, I feel like the oppositions are developed throughout the poem, but then they also become even more ambiguous and overlapped. Like, then it becomes... like, at first, it's very clear, the difference between the two. But then it becomes, oh, you have these two concepts, but where are they the same?
Where do they overlap and intertwine and kind of mm-hmm. one becomes the other and the other is the other?
You can't have one without the other, maybe.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's the point of this poem, just like atomic.
Right,
it's definitely a
relationship. Right, you cannot
two.
Have love without hate.
Exactly.
They're both, they are both two extremes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're very much related to each other.
Yeah.
That's what this is kind of saying.
For sure. And I think that about does it with the poem today.
All right. Welcome, or thanks for tuning in to another EAH podcast
you
with
really
Mia Young.
Alex Zaman.
Outro. All right. See you in Roy.
In the intro. On your computers.
And Sophia Papp.
You're fired.
Catch
bro.
You next time.